Special Labor Day weekend edition of Chodesh El of Parsha Shoftim, and we're going to start with really most of the Torah we're going to say tonight is from Rav Soloveitchik. I went through Rav Schwab. There's one idea from Rav Schwab we're gonna quote, but the rest will be from the Rav. And we'll start with a little bit of a different take of a famous idea that the Rav talks about from the third pasuk in this week's parsha. From Parsha Shoftim, pages 1024, 1025, in the Chumash, in the Art Scroll. And we know that this is one of the most famous phrases in the Torah. No question, one of the most famous phrases in the Torah. Tzedek, tzedek, tirdof. Justice, justice, you shall pursue. Right? It's not the one on the Liberty Bell. That's you should proclaim liberty throughout the land. But justice, justice, you shall pursue. I think it's made its way to a lot of courthouses, a lot of places of law. What does it mean, tzedek, tzedek, tirdof? That you should chase after justice, leman tichye, so that you should live and inherit the land. So Rav Soloveitchik quotes from the Ramban, that the Ramban quotes a number of different pshatim. What's with the double language of tzedek, tzedek, justice, justice, you shall pursue? And ultimately, the Ramban quotes from the Sefer HaBohir. The Sefer HaBohir is a Kabbalistic work that tradition says was authored by Rabbi Nechunya ben Akana, one of the great Tanoim that wrote Ana B'Koach, who was steeped in Jewish mysticism. And in the Sefer HaBohir, it says, Tzedek, Tzedek, Tirdof. The first Tzedek means that you should judge yourself. That you should judge yourself. That's what the first Tzedek means. The second tzedek means that if you're not going to judge yourself, then you're going to face a judgment in heaven. And tzedek, tzedek, tirdof, leman tichye, that you should chase after justice in whatever way, so that tichye, so that you can live. The idea being, again, this is a Kabbalistic idea, the Rav is making it simpler for us, he's reading it his way. It means that when a person chases after justice on your own, when you chase after it passionately, then leman tichye, then a person will be able to experience life. Then you'll be able to live. And this is, there are other teachings of Chazal that say that when a person brings din upon himself here in this world, then they don't face din in heaven. What does that mean? If you bring din, judgment upon yourself in this world, you don't face judgment in heaven. It means if a person is courageous enough to face a real cheshbon hanefesh, a real spiritual accounting herself or himself. That's what it means, tzedek, tzedek, tirdof, to chase after it in truth. And as Rav Soloveitchik says, that every human being is supposed to play a dual role. We are both judge and defendant of ourselves. That's really the idea. That's what it means to make a cheshbon hanefesh. And he reads the first pasuk in the parsha very differently than the classic Ba'alei Musar read it. We know that the classic Ba'alei Musar is the first pasuk in Parsha Shoftim. Shoftim is almost always the first parsha read in the month of Elul. And the way the most Ba'alei Musar read it is Shoftim v'shotrin titen l'chav b'chal sha'arecha. All of the gates that a person has to their soul, the eyes, the mouth, the nose, the ears, all the gates that there are guards by the gates that we can't let, you know, the wrong things in. We can't let the wrong influences in. That's what the Ba'alei Musar say. They close the eyes, close the mouth, you know, the earlobes to not listen to Lashon Hara. No, right? The ear, no. That's why earlobes, not for earrings. The earlobes are to be able to go like this and not to listen. No? Never heard that, Michelle? Really? You're kidding me.
Never heard that.
Wait, am I the only one that's... You must have heard that. You never heard that? In Hebrew cat? No?
It wasn't in Gross Anatomy.
What, you've heard it?
Absolutely.
Okay, you've heard it. Okay, oh, you're thinking with your doctor mind. Michelle, no, I mean, go back to second grade, Michelle. Forget dental school. Go back. You regress a little here, right? That's what it is. These are the guardians of the gates. But Rav Soloveitchik says it differently. He says, Shoftim v'shotrin titen l'cha b'chol sha'arecha. He says, no, no, no. It's not gates, it's not the guardians to prevent things from coming in. It's the guardians to prevent yourself from running away from truth. The idea is, Shoftim v'shotrin titen l'cha b'chol sha'arecha, is the call of putting gates putting guards and judges up by the gates, that you should be honest with yourself. It's very difficult for us to be honest with ourselves. It's very different, very difficult to engage in genuine introspection. And for that, we need a little bit of a shofet and a shoter. We need that judge. We need that officer to make sure that we're honest with ourselves. But that's what the Rav's saying, what it means, tzedek, tzedek, terdov, leman techia, that if you chase after justice, meaning for yourself, doesn't mean chase after justice for others, right? It's very easy to point out what's wrong in others, right? The question is, can we point out honestly what's wrong in ourselves? And that's a much greater challenge. And Rav Soloveitchik said that when we read Parsha Shoftim, the first week in Elul, this is really what we have to ask ourselves. Are we ready? Are we ready to do that? Are we ready to be honest and face the din v'cheshbon? Not of God, not God's din v'cheshbon. The din v'cheshbon of ourselves, the judging and accounting, to be honest with ourselves. And again, quoting from this Kabbalistic work, Sefer HaBar of Rabbi Nechunya ben Akanor, the way Rav Soloveitchik interprets it from the Ramban, is, and if you do that, leman tichyeh, that means you're going to live. That means you're going to be successful. Because when you bring that judgment upon yourself and you can be honest with yourself, so you sort of take the job away from God and you do it for yourself, right? Say, God, I got it, don't worry. I'll judge myself, right? You ever have those teachers that say, okay, now you finish the test, now we're giving the answers, everyone has to mark it for themselves? I never understood those teachers. Like, even the ones that say, okay, switch papers with your friend. You're like, you look at your friend, you wink, you're like, yeah, I got you. You got me? Okay, good. We're okay here. Like, really? But that's what the Ramban is saying, according to the Rav. Hashem says, if you're honest with yourself, but God knows if we're honest with ourselves, right? Hashem knows if we're able to really reflect in a genuine way, if we're able to really open ourselves up and confront the failings that we've had over the past year. But again, as we said on the Shloshim Yom today, not from a place of pachad, of fear, but a place of love, as we said on Shabbos from Rav Kook in the Oros HaTshuvah, of rediscovering your light, of reconnecting your roots to reality. That's what tshuva really is. And to really engage in it, tzedek, tzedek, terdof, leman techia. That's what the Rav is saying. That's what we have to do to be able to chase after it. So that's one important idea from Rav Soloveitchik, getting ourselves ready for the Yom Naran as Achana. But then there's a beautiful idea also that the Rav has, based on a very strange medrash. The medrash is, 1 second. Wait, there's a pasuk. Yeah, what page? No, I'm on the wrong page. I overshot it. Okay, next page. 10:26. I thought it was the next parak. This parak, right? 10:26, right? Parak Yedzayin, pasuk Vav. Al pi shnayim edim o shlosha edim yumas hameis, lo yumas al pi ed echad. Based on two witnesses or three witnesses, that's when you can put to death the defendant. You cannot put a person to death. There's no capital punishment based upon one witness. It's a very strange chazal, very strange medrash, that the satan comes on Rosh Hashanah to be mekatrig, to accuse and to prosecute the Jewish people. And God says, listen, what do you want? He says, I want a din against them. I want judgment against them. They deserve to be wiped out. So Hashem says, listen, you have to bring me two witnesses. You have to play by the rules. The rules is two witnesses. So the Satan says, no problem. He goes and he gets the moon that's going to testify against us. And then he goes to get the sun. He gets the sun. And then he goes to get the moon. But what's the problem with trying to get the moon on Rosh Hashanah? We know it's a parak of Tehillim that's actually the yom for Thursday. Tiku b'chodesh shofar b'kesel yom chagenu. That blow the shofar on the holiday that the moon is hidden, a kisui. You can't find the moon on Rosh Hashanah. So the Satan comes back to Hashem just with the sun. And Hashem says, what do you expect me to do? Al pishnai meidem o shlosh eidem lo yumas ameis. Lo yumas al pied echad. I can't judge the Jewish people just based upon one witness, just upon the sun. If you can't bring me the moon, case dismissed. Right? What's going on? like really? It's a nice story we'll tell our little kids, you know, the little ones that may be, you know, a nice medrash. But, you know, these are the type of medrashim that eino omer el dasheni. That the medrash is saying, okay, like, I'm telling you something really weird, try and figure out what this means. And Rav Soloveitchik says such a beautiful idea, similar to what we said 2 weeks ago from Rav Soloveitchik. He said, what does the sun represent? Right? The sun represent the revealed person. The revealed person is the person that is involved in sin, the person this past year that has, you know, eaten so often without making a bracha, that has not been sensitive enough to people's feelings, that is not, you know, we all know our top 10, you know, whatever our top 10 failings were this past year, that's the sun. The sun is what's revealed. And that, it's obvious. What do you mean? God's, it's there. The Satan says, the Malach HaMavis, who is Satan, who is Malach HaMavis, who is Yetzara, he brings it all to Hashem. He says, Eibishter, look at what they did. Look at what they did. How you have to judge them. Hashem says, yeah, where's the second witness? And who's that? That's the moon. But what's the moon? The moon is the hidden part of a person. The moon is the part that's revealed only sometimes. That becomes hidden. The hidden part of a human being, the hidden part of the true personality of a Jew, we know that that part of a human Jew has never been sullied by sin. That's the spark inside each and every one of us. That is kulo tar, that's kulo kadosh, that's totally pure, that's totally holy. And that's why the moon doesn't come to say anything bad about the Jewish people, because the moon doesn't have anything bad to say about the Jewish people. That revealed part of who we are is actually the greatest part, that hidden part of who we are is in fact the greatest part of who we are, the deepest part of who we are. And that's similar, if you remember what we said from Rav Soloveitchik 2 weeks ago in Parshas Ekev, when the whole idea about God showing favoritism to the Jewish people. What does it mean that God shows favoritism to the Jewish people? It means that God doesn't look at the externals. God only looks at the inner life of a Jew. And that's why, you know, few were not on this continent in this hemisphere 2 weeks ago, but there's a beautiful Gemara in Brachos. We're not going to get into the whole thing again. Was anyone here? Right, was anyone here that Shabbos? I was about to say that you were all, you know, Sherry, I think you're the only one. Were you here 2 weeks ago, Shabbos?
Not last week, the week before.
Oh, okay. So Shari was here. Okay, so you're the one. So there's a beautiful idea from the Rav that we'll just quickly share it, being that I don't know who was here. Are you here, Rachel?
I don't know
if Rachel was here. Okay, so the Rav said it's the Gemara and Brachos, Chaf Amid Beis, where the Malachim come to Hashem and say, Hashem, you know, it says in your Torah, lo yisafanim v'lo yikach shochad, that you're not going to show favoritism in judgment, but yet there's another pasuk in your Torah, Parshas Naso, the Birchas Kohanim, yisa Hashem panav elecha, that Hashem should show favoritism. So it's not fair. How are you showing favoritism? So Hashem responds cryptically, what can I do? These are the people that I told them, v'chalta v'savata v'erachta, should eat and be satisfied and bless. And they bless me even when they've only eaten the size of a kezayis or the size of a kebetza, the size of an egg or the size of an olive. So the Rav says, what? And the Malach, oh, okay, you're right, Hashem, you're right. What does that mean? So the Rav Soloveitchik explains, showing favoritism means that God doesn't look at our externals in judgment. God looks at who we are on the inside. Again, and on the inside, the similar idea from Rav, the idea of the moon, is the part of us that's hidden, is the part of us that's the greatest, that's not the one that's been external, and with the externalities we all have failings. But the Rav said that, you know why I look at the inner Jew, not at the outer Jew? Because look at how the Jewish people have treated me. I've told them that you have to bless me only when you're satisfied after eating. And he said, look at the Jewish history. And again, for us today, it's hard to imagine this. But can you imagine a time not too long ago when a Jew's whole meal was a kezayis? Their whole meal was a kezayis. There were such times, right? I don't know anyone here ever experienced such times, but your grandmother is obviously, that your whole meal was a kezayis. And Hashem said, and you know what they did? Even when they only ate a kezayis, they still said thank you to me. He said, so they weren't looking at the externals of our relationship. So how can I look at their externals when they didn't look at my externals? They saw in the inside Tohu Ratzav Ahava, despite their suffering and deprivation. They saw Tohu Ratzav Ahava, that Hashem loves us so much, even though we're in the most decrepit and horrific situations, we're still going to say thank you. So that idea is exactly the Yisod that the Rav is saying, that the Medrash that says, Hashem says to the Satan, you know, you only have the sun, that's it. The sun is the externals. The externals, we all are, we say it Yom Naram. God, who can stand in front of you in judgment and honestly ask for another year if you're looking at our outsides? But Hashem, if you're going to look at the insides, the moon doesn't come to speak against us, because Bakes Eliyom Chagenu, the moon represents the hidden, mysterious part of our personality, and that is the part of us that's just screaming out, Anan Bi'inan L'mehevika D'malka, that what we want more than anything else is to be close to the King. Right? And we know, we said that this past Shabbos. Again, a lot of you weren't in Shul this past Shabbos, but this past Shabbos, we said the similar idea from Rav Soloveitchik, that he said in last week's parsha, V'samachta L'fnei Hashem Elokecha. The only place a Jew is really going to find simcha, the Rav says, is when you're L'fnei Hashem Elokecha. He said a Jew can try and throw so many things. The only time you're really going to find simcha is when you're L'fnei Hashem Elokecha, when you're in God's presence. And why that is a much broader discussion. We're not going to get into that now. There's still other things to talk about in the parsha. But that's a very important idea. It's a very important idea for this time of year, because we know this time of year is really about not only, you know, asking ourselves how we've stood up to our relationship with God, but a lot of this time of year is also asking how we've stood up to our relationship with ourselves. The most important relationship you have in your life, and I don't mean to sound arrogant or egotistical here, is your relationship with yourself. Because only if you love yourself and you appreciate yourself, you can then share that with others. Can you appreciate the goodness in others? And that's why, you know, the month of Elul, there are three different acronyms, right? The most famous is, of course, Ani L'dodi V'dodi Li, and that's about us with God. What's the second one about us and Ben Adam L'chaveiro? Ish L'Re'ehu U'matanos L'Evyonim. No, you never heard that one? Ish L'Re'ehu U'matanos L'Evyonim. That means Ben Adam L'chaveiro, the gifts to each other and gifts to the poor. But what's the third? And it's interesting because this one doesn't really work well, but that's why it's about us, ourselves. It's Es L'Vavchem V'Es L'Vav. The next word after is Zarachem, and the pasuk before is Umaltem, that you will circumcise. Es levavchem, your hearts, the es levav zarachem, and the hearts of your children. What? It's from later on in Devarim. I think it's Nitzavim. But where is that? Again, a parsha that's normally read during El, at the end of El. But what is that about? Es levavchem, ves levav zarachem? That El is not only about your relationship with God. El is not only about your relationship with other people. You know what El is about first and foremost? Your relationship with yourself. Are you being honest with your goals? Are you being honest with what you're putting your efforts in terms of accomplishments in this world? It's so vital, and really I would argue that that's the most important relationship to work on first. Because, you know, as Rav Huttner would say, we've quoted it many times. I heard it from Rebbe Meir Mendel Blachman, La'olam Yehei Adam. It's from Davening in the Morning Karbanos. Yirei Shamayim B'Seser V'Goli. The way it's normally understood, a person should always be God-fearing in private and in public. But the way Rav Huttner would read it from Chaim Brin, La'olam Yehei Adam. First, you have to be a human being. You have to be a mensch. Then, Yirei Shamayim. Then you could worry about fear of God in private and in public. I mean, you have to be a person. You have to be a whole person. You have to be healthy emotionally, psychologically, right? You know, people that take, you know, very, very sharp turns in their life, religious, all different things. You know, so often, if it doesn't have a healthy emotional, psychological base, what happens to all of those changes? They forget going back. They crumble and become much less than even before, if it's not based on real healthy growth. And so that's why you know, what Rav Soloveitchik is saying is not only for Hashem that the moon won't come and testify against us, because it can't testify against us, because the moon represents that part of us that's so great. That's not only for Hashem, but that's for ourselves. Do we understand who we really are? Are we honest with what our values are? You know, when I was in Yeshiva University last week, giving a schmooze to boys late at night with a lot of Chinese food, I'm happy to say I didn't eat any of it. I've gotten over the Yetzer Hara of bad Chinese food at 11 o'clock at night. Yes, okay. Really, I haven't, but I just know how I was going to pay for it the next morning. So, like, yeah, I was like, I couldn't do it. But, you know, I asked them. I said, guys, you know, we're in college. I said, let's say I offered you $1 billion, or I offered you a happy relationship with your significant other, with your kids. I said, I guarantee you, which one would you take? I said, you'll all pause for a few seconds, because we live in a world of illusions and fantasies, and we think $1 billion means happy. But then you stop just for a moment, and you think, you realize, if I have a guarantee, I'd much rather take the one about a happy family, good relationship with my spouse. And like, it's a no-brainer, right? Isn't that obvious? So the question is, during the month of Elul, to take that step back and say, one second, what would I ask for? And that's one of the reasons we say L'David Hashem Ori. Because what do we say in L'David Hashem Ori? King David says it very clearly. Achas sha'alti me'es Adonai osa'avakesh. There's only one thing I want from God. Shifti b'veis Adonai kol yemei chayai. Lachsos b'nam Adonai ulevaker b'chalo. King David, who was one of the most complicated people in all of Tanakh, who had one of the most difficult, arguably the most difficult life in all of Tanakh, aside for Eov, and again, debatable whether Eov ever existed or he was a figment of Moshe Rabbeinu's imagination, that Eov is a theological novel, right? That's the Gemara and Baba Basra, the debate that goes on over there. And yet King David says, if there's only one thing, there's only one thing, God, that I really want. I just want to sit in your presence my whole life. Doesn't mean I want to be a Kolonik, right? King David was a warrior, who was a singer, who was a statesman, who was a poet. King David understood. It means I want to be Lifnei Hashem always. That's what he said. That's the most important thing to me. That's the one thing I want. Because it's this time of year when we make Cheshbon HaNefesh that we have to try and remove the layers to get to the core of who we are and what's valuable to us. And so often during the year, we don't do that, right? How easy during the course of the year, it's just, you know, we go on what? On cruise control, figuratively or literally, we go on cruise control. You know, for some people, the summer is when you can take time to stop and think, you know. El is when we stop and think, because we have to, because we got Yom Narom coming up. Like, what's going on, right? Where are we? And so this is something that I think that it's not only for Hashem, but it's really for us. For us to recognize that there's the sun part of us, but then there's also the moon part of us. Don't let the sun part of us dictate who we are. With the Jewish people, we go by the moon. The sun is important. Our calendar is a mix of both. The sun is important. But as Jews, we know, Kiddush Levana, we sanctify the moon every month. We know that our connection is to the moon. The waxing and the waning, which is common, which is normal, which is a way of life. But we know that who we are is much deeper than what we see. Even what we see. And El, we have to mine. El, we have to try and go deep. Okay, that was way off topic. It's of course not off topic. It's all on topic. It's all Torah. But, you know, these are all things that we have to try and learn together. And then there's, okay, so we'll skip a few. But we'll get to something that those that were in the Navi Shir, so we've discussed this at length, the Jewish concept of a king. And right now we're learning about one of the greatest of the Jewish kings, Shlomo HaMelech. And we know that there's a famous medrash that has to do with Shlomo HaMelech. It's based on Perek Yedzayin, Pasuk Yedzayin. Next page, right? We're just on page, yeah? 1026, next page. The pasuk says, "V'lo yarbelo noshim, v'lo yoser levavo v'chesav v'zol v'lo yarbelo ma'od." That he should not have too many wives, and his heart will not be turned astray, and he shouldn't have too much gold and silver. So we know that Shlomo HaMelech violated this. Shlomo HaMelech married more wives than are permitted to a king, and the Medrash says that the yud, that little yud of the word Yarbe, went and screaming to Hashem, crying to Hashem, threw itself in front of Hashem. Look at what Shlomo HaMelech's doing to me. Look at what Shlomo HaMelech's doing to me. And Hashem says he's going to be punished for that. So like Rav Soloveitchik asks, why the yud? Again, all these interesting midrashim, I'm not going to say strange. Interesting midrashim. What does that mean? Why the letter yud of all of them? So what does the letter yud do? Come on, you learned real diktuk, didn't you? No? I know. Oh, in the Hebrew Academy. Oh, right. I'm sorry. No, you didn't. Right. You didn't. Right. Yarbet, right, means future. Right. Lo yarbe lo nashim. The yud turns the verb into future tense. And why was it the yud that was coming? Because the Shlomo HaMelech was right. He was confident that he wasn't going to sin by having too many wives. When was he not going to sin? The way he was at that time, he wasn't going to sin. Because he knew that his emuna was so strong and his control of himself was so strong. But you know why it's the yud of Yarbe that comes and throws itself in front of God crying? Because it says, I don't care where Shlomo is now. I want to know what's going to be. And we know what actually does happen to Shlomo, coming attractions in the Sefer Melachim Shir Shabbos afternoon. When Shlomo HaMelech gets older and weaker, you know what happens? His wives, and again, we're going to have to learn this in the Navi Shir, but like put idols in his palace, bring sacrifices, Tavod Zaras, and like horrific. And what Shlomo's role is in that, is it just passive? Is he out of it? You know, we're going to have to learn that in the Navi Shir. But it's clear that in the future, Shlomo HaMelech made a great mistake by violating the Torah and ultimately, you know, leading down exactly the path that the Torah warns against. And this is really a famous Maimer Chazal, Al Tamin Ba'atzmacha Ad Yom Moscha, that we can never be too confident. We can never be too cocky in how we believe what? You know what? I know who I am. I'm not going to fall prey to such sins. I'm not going to, right? The Torah gives us gedarim, chazal, b'chachmasim, give us certain fences, certain precautionary measures, because they understood human nature, right? Rav Soloveitchik time and time again demonstrated in his shiurim the deep understanding of human psychology that chazal had. It was unbelievable. It was unbelievable. Ideas that weren't discovered for literally 1500 years. Chazal spoke about these concepts openly, psychological ideas about the human mind and human emotions. You know, so this is something that when we talk about this lo yarbe lo nashim, there is a certain hubris that human beings can have. A certain hubris that when we read things and we hear things, we say, what? That's crazy. That's crazy. That's so outdated. That's so antiquated. And again, we have to understand, you know, what we're reading, where it's from, what the meaning of it is. But we have to recognize that where we are today isn't necessarily where we'll be tomorrow, isn't necessarily where we'll be in 6 months, isn't necessarily where we'll be in 5 years from now. And the yud of the Yarbe lo Nashim is telling us that we have to always look to the Torah as our roadmap. The Torah is the roadmap for the greatest life that we can have. And whatever confidence we have to ultimately be mevatel our das to Torah. And that's not an easy thing, right? Especially in today's day and age, whether it's the hubris, the arrogance that people have today. You know, we spoke at Shalosh Shudas a couple of weeks ago, Rav Lichtenstein. He said, last week at Shalosh Shudas, Rav Lichtenstein said, no, Rav Soloveitchik, but Rav Lichtenstein said similar idea, that someone asked Rav Soloveitchik about the Yetzer Hara, Avodah Zarah, like with no Avodah Zarah anymore, all these parts of the Torah don't make sense. And in the late 50s, Rav Soloveitchik said, oh, no, there's an Avodah Zarah. The Avodah Zarah is ourselves. You know, when we put ourselves on that pedestal and we worship ourselves, make no mistake, the Rav said, that's an Avodah Zarah. That's an Avodah Zarah. And so, you know, this is something that we have to be sure, this Yud of Yar Belo Nashim. And what's the ultimate irony, of course? What's the ultimate irony? Who was Shlomo HaMelech? What is he known as? Whenever you say Shlomo HaMelech, he was? Right, he built the Beis HaMikdash, but he's always described as Chacham Mikol Adam. Right? Shlomo HaMelech was Chacham Mikol Adam. The Navi tells us he was wiser than any other person. The wisest human being, potentially ever. Yet, exactly, Elisa. Exactly. He doesn't know better than the letter Yud. He doesn't know better than that little smidge of ink. And that's part of the Cheshbon HaNefesh that the month of El asks us to engage in. It's not easy. It's not easy. I get it. It's not easy. It's about being honest. It's about, you know, being unflinching in how we look at ourselves. But it's so vital if we want to be connected once again to the deepest parts of who we are and to the essence of reality. This is what the month of El is really all about. And this is why also we know that the Torah itself, this Rav Schwab points out that the Pasuk tells us just a few Pasukim later, V'haisa Pasuk Yates, that a king has to have a little Sefer Torah written for him, right? That he goes, it goes with him, V'haisa imo v'karabo kol yimei chayav, l'mad yilmad l'yira es Adonai Elohav l'shmaras kil divrei HaTorah azos v'esachukim ha'elo la'asosam. And Rav Schwab says that, you know, the Torah has to be with him his whole life, so he reads it and that he'll learn to fear God. Like, I don't get it. Isn't the king supposed to be someone who fears God already? Like, what? That doesn't make sense. What, we're going to choose someone that has no fear of God? We're going to choose a lowlife to be the king? We know Shaul wasn't that way. David wasn't that way. Shlomo wasn't that way. Unfortunately, as we go on and say from Malachim, we'll see things don't always go so well. But when the people are choosing a king, we're going to choose a king that doesn't have Yiras Shamayim. How could that be? So Rav Schwab says, no, it's not that he doesn't have Yiras Shamayim. It's that when a person has so much power, when a person has so much glory, he says, do you understand what ego does? Do you understand the danger of ego and where it could lead a person? And that's why when a person becomes king with such incredible power, you have to make sure that you're constantly checking yourself, constantly reading Torah. Lamad Yilm, and he points out that in the tefillah that we say for Birchas HaChodesh, so it's actually the tefillah that Rav, the Amora Rav, would say at the end of every Shemon Esrei. We say, Elokai Netzar L'Shoni Meirah. Rav would say that. Yerotzim L'Fanach Hashem L'Kin L'Kin L'Shetil Chaim Aruchim Chaim Shal Shom Chaim Shal Bracha. Right? So at one point we say, Chaim Shal Yerushamayim V'Yiras Chait. Then we say, Chaim Shal Osher V'Chavod. Then we say, Chaim Shal Ava Satora V'Yiras Shamayim. I'm saying, we just asked for Yerushamayim. Why do we ask for Yerushamayim again? So what does Rav Schwab say? What's in between the two Yerushamayims? Chaim shel osher v'chavod. When you have the wealth and you have all that glory and honor, what is a natural reaction to it? To forget God. Forget God. Of kochi votim yadi, was all me. So that's what El is really about. El is really about remembering God. But as we said tonight, El is not only about remembering God. Before we can remember God, what do you have to remember? You have to remember yourself. That's the first one you have to remember. Before you remember Hashem, you have to remember yourself. When you remember yourself, then you can remember Hashem. And after you remember Hashem, then you can remember other people. Because our interactions with other people have to be defined, should be defined by being God-like. Right? V'alachta b'drach of mahu afata. Right? And that's why in many yeshivos they have a minag. I learned this with Jeff, Tomer Devorah. Tomer Devora by Rav Moshe Cordovero. Rav Moshe Cordovero was one of the great Kabbalists of Tzfat in that golden age of Kabbalah in the 1500s with Rav Yosef Karo, the author of the Shulchan Aruch, who had Magid Misharm, went like a Chavrusa with a Malach, with Rav Shlomo Alkebetz, the Kabbalist who authored the Lechadodi, and of course the most famous of all those Kabbalists, who was like the new kid on the block, who ultimately would outshine them all, was the Arizal, right? The Ari HaKadosh, Rabbi Isaac Luria. Rav Moshe Cordovero, he wrote a book of Kabbalah called the Tomer Devora that's all about the Yud Gimel Midos HaRachamim, God's 13 attributes of mercy, and how we are supposed to emulate them. And so when all the Mekubalim say that during the month of Elul, God's 13 attributes of mercy are shining so great, what's Pshat? Pshat is not only so Hashem is going to have mercy on you. They're shining so great so that what? That you can take those 13 attributes and make them yours. They're shining so bright, not only so Hashem is going to have mercy on us, they're shining so bright so that we can remember who we are, that we can be godlike, and that's how we can interact with other people. It's a great challenge. You read the Sefer of Tomer Devora, and again, there are minigans, many yeshivas, there are many tzaddikim, Rosh Chodesh El, they start reading Tomer Devora. That's why you could buy a Tomer Devora, and it's split up the 29 days of Elul, mamish. But they finish it over the whole month. That's the minig. The copies Jeff and I had, it. Mamish, they finished the whole Tomer Devora, the month of Elul. That's such a minig. But this is really what we have to try and do. Tzedek, tzedek, tirdof, you have to chase after the truth. Chasing after the truth of who we are. And from that truth, emes meretz titzmach, truth will spring forth from the ground. And Hashem should just help us that we have the tenacity, that we have the courage, and we have the insight to be able to do this in an honest and real way, and understand that it all has to be tocho rotzef ahava, that the whole process has to be coursing with love. As the Kotzker said, "V'avta l'reicha kamocha zekal gadol b'torah." The Kotzker said, "What does it mean, v'avta l'reicha kamocha zekal gadol b'torah?" You know what the first klal gadol of the Torah is? You have to love yourself, and when you love yourself, then you can love someone else. So the klal gadol of the Torah starts with self-love. Okay. So I'm not telling you to be arrogant. Understand, right? I'm not telling you to be egotistical. That's not what I'm saying. We're not fans of Ayn Rand here, right? My Rebbe Aaron Lichtenstein was not a fan of Ayn Rand. But what we're saying is that by understanding who you are and appreciating who you are and loving who you are, you'll come to even greater love of Hashem. You'll come to even greater love of other people. Shkoyach. Shkoyach.